Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we review the seasons of Mercedes, McLaren, and Manor. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone! After the award episode last week, we now look back a bit more in detail into the seasons of the teams, starting with the three M's today. It's Mercedes, McLaren, and Manor. In the coming 3 weeks, we'll always pick one top team, one or two midfield teams, and one or two of the backmarkers. So three episodes of season reviews of the teams, and yeah, as I said, let's start now with Mercedes, McLaren, and Manor. And of course, Mercedes, again, they had an awesome season after 2014, 2015, 2016, again, and sometimes during the season, it even seemed that it was easier for them than 2015, because other than when Hamilton had his engine failure or they crashed into each other, I mean, there was no real chance for anybody to beat them, was there?
No, there wasn't. It kind of looked very similar to 2014. If we remember back then, Daniel Ricciardo only won his three races that year because of Mercedes failures or problems. But this year, yeah, it was very similar. And they won, 19 out of 21 races. Yeah. So they still very much had the most dominant package in the field.
Yeah, by far, really the most dominant package, and maybe also the most dominant drivers or the best drivers. I mean, Hamilton, of course, we know that he's absolutely quick and very, very consistent in the race. And Nico Rosberg, of course, more of a thinking driver. Let's put it this way, and yeah, maybe their combination was one of the best combinations in Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, to get into a good team, you have to be a good driver. People complain that, oh, it's only the drivers win these championships because they're in good cars. But to prove that you're a good driver, to get into a good team, you have to prove you're a good driver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely had two very strong drivers that delivered throughout the whole season, winning 19 of the races out of the 21. And like you said, if there was, apart from those, Hamilton's engine blow-up and the crash at Spain, they could have perhaps won every single race this season, which is unbelievable to think that that could happen. So, yeah, to see that almost did happen is really crazy, especially in such a long season. People were really expecting to be that there would be a much closer title fight, but yeah, Mercedes, I think this year just pulled away even further ahead in terms of points, anyway. And yeah, especially in qualifying, they ramped up the pace.
Yeah, they were always able to turn the engine up to 11, when everybody else just had to stick with what they had. And yeah, I mean, this really made the difference, especially in qualifying. I don't know, I think you watched the Autosport Award as well, where Aldo Costa spoke to the audience, and he also said that the big difference this year was also that they were much more equal over the races. It wasn't like, I don't know, 2015, where they were 1 second away in some races, and in Singapore they were really struggling. It was more that they had more or less an equal gap of four, five tenths over the other cars in basically every race. And they said that was their biggest achievement in 2016. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, not only have they been quick, they've also been very consistent. They've been consistently ahead of the rest of the field. And yeah, I mean, one of the great achievements of Formula One now is Mercedes, especially in this era of Formula One, the hybrid era. They've definitely done a great job and proved it again this year.
Yeah, and not only the chassis, but also the engine, as we talked about with their qualifying mode, but also in the race. I mean, we're seeing a lot of Mercedes engine powered cars like Force India, Williams, who might not be that far up the grid without a Mercedes engine. So I think the engine plays also a huge part, although the other manufacturers caught a little bit up with them, I thought.
Yeah, a little bit. But again, they weren't definitely still the strongest engine out there. But yeah, definitely. I mean, again, comparing to the first year in the hybrid era in 2014, there definitely has been a lot of significant gains from other teams to catch up with the Mercedes engine.
And luckily, also the engines sound a little bit nicer. When I watch back some videos of 2014, I mean, or even watch my own videos where I record them in Hockenheim, I mean, they didn't sound really good. This year, 2016 engines, they're a little bit more, I don't know, they sound more crisp and aggressive, you know, that those 2014 engines, they didn't sound good at all.
Yeah, well, personally, I actually never had a problem with the sound of the engines. I always quite liked whatever sound was produced. But definitely, even to any of the listeners, if you want to go back and listen to some 2014 engines, you'll definitely hear the difference. There's a massive, massive difference in the engine sound, in my opinion, anyway. It's certainly a noticeable difference. So, yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about engines, well, let's move on to the next team with them, McLaren, of course, a team that has since 2015 a new engine partnership with Honda, of course, the famous McLaren-Honda partnership. Of course, it didn't work out too well in 2015, but yet the team together made some good gains in 2016, of course, with Fernando Alonso finishing even ahead of Felipe Massa, I guess, in the championship. So, two drivers also with very big names, Alonso and Button. How did you see just the performance of both of those drivers in the McLaren team?
Well, I think, first of all, McLaren did make some very, very big steps this year. Yeah. Compared to where they were last year, of course, it's still nowhere. It's not close to where they want to be, but yeah, when you like last season, they were very much a backmarker team. They were a backmarker team, and then this year you can call them a midfield team, I think. So it's been a tough couple of years for McLaren Honda. I think Fernando Alonso did a fantastic job this season. Especially with all the limitations he did a wonderful job, consistently outscoring Jenson Button in qualifying and in the race. So yeah, I mean, when you're starting up a partnership like that with McLaren Honda, a brand new project like that, Button Alonso is a good partnership, I think, that they had. Of course, they don't have it anymore. But still,
maybe next year with Van Dorn might still be a very, very good partnership. I mean, we've seen it with Van Dorn in Bahrain, just one race in, and he was within 1 or 2 tenths of Jenson Button. Let's wait, maybe he can even fight with Alonso.
Yeah, possibly. I think Van Dorn's quite an exciting driver for Formula One and for McLaren. So I guess we'll just wait and see what happens next year with the new rules and how, well, I mean, I don't think anyone is expecting them to slip further down the field.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, I think people are kind of just expecting them to move up. So so we'll just have to see what happens next year with them. But yeah, in terms of this year.
Yeah, I just want to say it somehow turns into a 2017 preview.
Yeah, maybe. No, in terms of this year, I think they've done a pretty good job. Well, compared to last year, they've done a good job, but there's still a lot of unhappy McLaren fans out there.
Yeah, not only fans. I mean, I think also the board of McLaren isn't that happy to see the car driving around somewhere in the midfield. And yeah, I guess they had a... Or they always said, yeah, we have the third best, or sometimes even said second best chassis on the grid or something. But I mean, didn't really show this season. I mean, maybe that's also something they are hoping, but I don't think the Honda engine isn't that bad. And on some tracks where really the cars depend on downforce or in the rain, Honda wasn't too strong. So, in my opinion, both the car and the engine weren't. Of course, it was an improvement over 2015, but it wasn't a major step or something.
Yeah, actually, you said something there about the board of McLaren not being happy. Do you think Ron Dennis would have left the team if McLaren had been more successful this season?
Well,
do you think it's purely down to how they performed?
Yeah, do you think he left? I mean, he didn't leave just like that. I mean, I think he was forced out, wasn't he?
Pretty much, but I think he would have stayed on if McLaren had a more successful package, because the bad results created a toxic atmosphere within McLaren, which forced Dennis out, and that sort of atmosphere never would have erupted if they had some more success. So yeah, again, that's another thing that really dominated McLaren's headlines this year, was Ron Dennis leaving the team. So, which is a shame, I think, because he's a great figure for what Formula One is. He's had so much success with McLaren. And yeah, I think it is a shame to see him leave, especially in the circumstances that he did leave in.
Yeah, and I heard that it was because they couldn't agree on some strategy decisions, and normally you only change a strategy or something if things aren't going in your direction. And so I think I definitely agree with you that if they had scored some more points, maybe a podium, who knows, I think he might have been still on the board.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he very much is Mr. McLaren. I mean, he's been team principal since I think it was 1981, I think, of McLaren. I mean,
yeah, that's a long time.
He's been there for a long, long time. I mean, he's overseen the whole Senna Prost era. He, you know, all the Mika Hakkinen era, the Lewis Hamilton era. He's overseen it all. So yeah, it's very sad to see him go the way he did.
Definitely. So yeah, not only of course, McLaren lost a very important person this season, but they improved compared to last year, or yeah, 2015. So yeah, will be interesting to see what they can do in 2017. And then moving on to our last team in this episode, it's the Manor team, of course, starting off as Virgin in 2010, then... Was it still Virgin in 2011? 2012? I think it was Marussia. And yeah, Somehow then they ended up as Manor. And yeah, of course, this season, the first time they had a Mercedes engine in. And yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting great things. Well, maybe not scoring points each race, but definitely a lot of people expected them to be closer to other cars and even fight them. And yeah, in my opinion, I was a little bit disappointed by them. I really expected them to be a little bit more closer. I think in some races there was still a gap to Sauber or Renault or something, so they were basically under himself. But then in other races they were really fighting for points, and even in on tracks like Austria, where with the straight lines, where they could really benefit from the Mercedes engine, they scored some points. So for me, it was a bit of a disappointment, but of course, the season had their ups and downs. How did you see it?
Yeah, to be honest, I never really had big expectations for Manor. I thought they might bag a couple of points here and there, but overall, I didn't think they'd make big gains, to be honest. I think you got to feel sorry for Manor, because at the start of the season, they probably knew they had a chance of not finishing last. Then, of course, when they scored the point in Austria, And then when they seen how much Sauber were struggling, they probably thought, you know, we could actually not finish last this year. We could get so much more money in for next year. And then, lo and behold, Sauber just, you know, out of nowhere, score 2 points and go ahead of them. And yeah, they end up last again. And I mean, like, what can you say about that? It really does go to show that they didn't really make much improvements. They still ended up last in the championship, despite getting a point, only the second points finish in their history. So yeah, like, it's not been a very good year for them. Three different drivers throughout the season.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, I think overall it has been quite disappointing. I think the only, well, of course, winning the point, gaining that point was a good bonus for the season. But I think getting those Mercedes engines was also a big, big part of their route to building on something to where they can be successful in the future. Because I think if they didn't get that Mercedes deal, they probably would have been stuck with some, you know, year old Ferrari deal or year old Renault deal or something next year. So yeah, that was a very important move for them at the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, they've got some potential on the or not potential, but they've got a good engine supplier then. And yeah, this year I think there was not much in terms of aerodynamic improvement on their side. I think I read somewhere that they already decided in January, so even before the season started, that they want to focus on the 2017 car with all the new aerodynamic regulations. But I'm not sure whether that's really true, because I think even 2015 they said, yeah, we focus early on the 2016 car and so on, you know. Do you think that really they sacrificed this year's development to have a better 2017 car?
Possibly. I mean, they may see 2017 as a big, big chance to leap up the field, but I don't see how they can, because I have a genuine fear that Manor will slip further down the field next season.
From like, last two?
To even more last. From 1 point to 0 points. I mean, they of course don't have the budget other teams have. They don't have the ability to develop as much as other teams have. And with such a huge regulation change coming in next season, I can't see how they'd produce a, well, with their budget and with like how they produce different parts for cars and all stuff like that. I don't see how they can add enough to their car that will improve it dramatically next season. I think they may you know, improve the car somewhat, but perhaps not as much as they want to, and not as much as other teams, which may force them further. Yeah, like I said, even more last, if that's possible. So again, it's just it's only presumptions, nothing solid yet, and we'll just see. But yeah, I think Manor, it's such a, of course, they're only the only team to survive that you know, HRT and Caterham have both come into Formula One and left, absolutely bankrupt. A Manor, fair play, have stuck in there and kept going. But yeah, I think next season they'll either, in my opinion, they'll either make big gains or none at all and slip even further behind. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I think overall for them this season it's been quite disappointing. But with a couple of bonuses in there that they can take from the season. But yeah, perhaps they were expecting a little bit more, and yeah, perhaps the fans were too.
Yeah, pretty disappointing, not only in terms of racing, but also in terms of money, as you said, losing those points to Sauber and the position, also losing one of their pay drivers with Harry Hunter, as you said earlier. So yeah, not a good year in terms of money, and we can, yeah, or I really hope that they can survive and maybe really focus on 2017 from January 2016, so that they can have a good year next year. Or maybe Maldonado signs for them. I read an article today that Maldonado's still hoping for a Formula One seat next year, and he's talking to some teams. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we actually posted that on our website. So, yeah, I think that's also another key factor for them next season. They probably had their eye on a couple of drivers, like talent drivers, rather than pay drivers per se. You know, I mean, of course, the pay drivers are talented, but I think in Manor's eyes right now, it's what they're looking for is number one, money; number two, talent, rather than number one, talent and number two, money.
You mean number one, money; number two, money; number three, money; and number 465, talent.
Maybe, but I mean, there's plenty of good drivers out there that have budget behind them, such as their development driver Jordan King.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. Like every other team, I think 2017 is just a big unknown for them. So
yeah. So to round this episode up. Basically a perfect year, nearly a perfect year for Mercedes. Some big improvements of McLaren, but also still there's still a gap to the front runners, and Manor with a pretty disappointing year sporting and also in terms of the financials. So yeah, that was our review of the 2016 season for those three teams. I hope you enjoyed it, and next week we will be back with Red Bull, Williams, Haas and Sauber. So, see you then. Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.